Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
We did it, Steve. We did
again,
it.
Again, it's a we did it.
That's just, I say that all the time. Well, no, we did it.
I see.
Joe, the kid is dead. I killed the kid. No, we did it.
We did it. We killed the kid.
We killed the kid. I don't know why. I'm not even going to look at my notes. I wrote like one thing down, and I'm trying to be more proactive with the podcast, but I was like, you know what? We got too much to talk about. I'm not even going to write it down. And it's...
I hit my kids on a YouTube video.
Did you want to talk about that first? I thought we...
I yelled at them and threatened to throw them out a window.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Game Classy Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. With me, as always, my co-host, Steve.
Hello.
And as I always say, it's funnier when we don't know the details because we're not a news podcast. People who think we're a news podcast are dumb. We are a comedy podcast.
I've been arrested.
Did he actually get arrested?
He sure did. His mugshot is hilarious.
Right.
So imagine him in your mind's eye, and he's exactly what you think.
What about my whispering eye?
Well, I mean, sure. I don't think you could imagine using your whispering eye. I don't think that works that way.
My mewling quim.
Yeah, I don't believe that physiology works that way. But if you can, that's impressive.
Where's the fucking the date? Okay, so for those who are unaware, on May 8th. So what was that? This just last week, right?
Yeah, it was last week.
So last week on May 8th, a Kickstarter popped up for a Game of Thrones card game.
Yes. It could be bigger than Pokemon.
So it obviously was done by a husband and wife team who had no idea about anything to do with gaming, right? They were like,
I don't even think you need to say about. I just didn't have no idea about anything.
About anything. Yeah, it was very strange and bizarre. So they wanted to do a card game like Pokemon. For Game of Thrones. It was like a battle game, it looked like.
I don't know.
And all the cards were like obviously printed on a color printer, and they like cut
a shitty color printer.
A shitty color printer, because they were all like really shitty JPEGs.
Yeah, yeah.
And like,
they were bad.
And they were like, does damage too, or stuff like there. It was like Jon Snow, you know, it was really bad all around. Just like looked really crappy. Like no thought was put into it. Like you're.
It looked like a sixth grader made it.
Yeah, it was like.
Like I would have been like, oh, okay, that looks like a fun little like sixth grader.
Mr. Johansson asked me to come up with a board game to present to the class, so I made it around Game of Thrones.
It's a school project board game.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. So this guy puts it out there, and the rules were nonsense. It was like,
oh, it was
you're
going to
get a 30-card hand.
There's defense pools.
And it was going to have an electronic point monitoring system.
Gobbledygook.
Yeah, it was gobbledygook. So we're all having a laugh at it, and the guy puts up a video. The guy had a video on his YouTube page. This wasn't actually linked to...
People found it because he put up a how-to-play video.
I put up a how-to-play video.
Rambling, incoherent nonsense.
So they looked at his actual YouTube page, and they had a Fortnite video of him, and he was playing it. And in the background, he literally—and this is where it doesn't become funny; it's actually really sad. He beats the living hell out of his kids. Well, I shouldn't say that, but I mean, you could hear in the background he's yelling and hitting his kids. He's not beating the living hell out of them, but he's definitely doing something that you don't put on the internet, let alone do. So he does this. The people start calling him out on the YouTube and on the Kickstarter page, like, dude, because people are mandated reporters. Like, I'm a mandated reporter. If I saw this, I would have to report it. You know, and it's one of those things, though, where it's like, oh, thank God someone else mandatedly reported this and have said that they reported it. So we're OK there. And I actually didn't even watch the video because I'm like, I don't want to see this. I don't need to see this. So he put it. They took down that video real quick. But. It's YouTube, so people grabbed it because
it was saved.
Yeah. And then so they switched the Kickstarter ownership from the guy to his wife, who owns like a pawn shop in wherever it was, Louisiana, whatever the hell.
Connecticut.
Connecticut. they were they put up a and it, like they were like, look at our shop, and it was like a nightmare shop. It was like it was like the worst like mall store that was obviously a front for some sort of illegal activity,
some sort of thing.
Yeah, there was stuff thrown everywhere, and throughout this entire time I'm literally looking like, is this a joke? Is this real? This can't be real. It's literally that weird part of the human population that just seeps into our gaming conscious, like something that deals with me. Like normally, like that level of weirdness does not enter into,
oh, it's real,
into like something as mainstream as like Kickstarter. Like that level of weird is usually off to the side. It usually gets filtered fairly quickly out. It never makes it as far as
this.
Well,
it was pulled from Kickstarter.
It was. So the woman, oh no, I'm in charge of this Kickstarter, not this guy who just put up pictures of him hugging his kids after getting called out for beating his children. She puts this whole thing up there, and the Kickstarter was finally like, okay, this is done. I mean, it went on way longer than it needed to. Kickstarter should have been on top of
that. The comments were amazing. There was like, there were so many.
There was like three, there were people pledging $1 just so they could make comments. Like there had to be 3,000 comments on there by the time it was pulled. I think it was at over 1,500 when I saw, when me and you were like joking about it.
Yeah.
So they pulled all of that shit down. And so we're all laughing about it. Like, oh, thank God this guy is done. But the next day, pops up on Indiegogo.
Indiegogo. With the funding of, you get to keep the money no matter if it funds or not.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know what they call that. Flex funding or whatever.
Yeah. Stealing your money is what they call it, Steve. Stealing your money. So they did that. And of course, that didn't last that long. That only went like maybe 2 hours, and then that was pulled down.
That was, people were also pledging $1 there so they could comment on it.
Yes, and it wasn't even that, like, that had only made like $10 at that point.
Yes, and in case you're wondering, his defense against when he got arrested was internet. This all happened because of internet trolls who were jealous of his success.
Yes, and so he I guess has been arrested at this point.
His wife was also arrested.
And his wife was arrested. I'm sure that when they actually, if the cops are doing their job in Connecticut, as opposed to just,
I mean, they're United States cops, so they're probably not doing their jobs.
No, but I mean, if if they did their jobs and they looked maybe into the finances of that store that they own, they're probably going to find a shit ton of illegal dealings. So I'm not saying they did. I'm just saying, There's a good chance. There's a high probability that store probably is doing something that it's not supposed to do. The only time I've ever seen stores like that, they were selling cigarettes illegally out of the back.
I've definitely there's also a good shot that they're in the bracket of illegal via incompetence.
Yeah,
because I've definitely seen places where they were doing like it's like, You can't do that. That's illegal. And they're like, what?
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah, there's definitely illegality via incompetence. And I think that place screams that to me.
Some of the funnier things about the Kickstarter was that, do you have the rights to use a likeness?
No.
I have. I've talked.
You must subpoena me to get that information.
Well, not even that. It was like, no, I've talked to a vice president of HBO, and he gave me approval over an email.
On LinkedIn.
Oh, yeah. He found him through LinkedIn, and yes, he approved it through email. And it's like, did he say that you had approval to use the likenesses, or did you have approval to apply to use the likenesses? That information is super secret.
Yeah, well, he put at one point, he said like, you about the lights, you have to subpoena me for me to tell you. it was like if you want to know about the rights, subpoena me.
Yeah, it was like, and he only wanted like, it was some like paltry, it was like $15,000. It's like, that wouldn't even cover the licensing rights,
probably not,
to the show, which for that game, Fantasy Flight already owns, right? It's Fantasy Flight who owns the show?
No,
Fantasy Flight owns the books.
Fantasy Flight has the license for their card game.
Yeah.
Full stop. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. But there's
all they have, and it's not HBO likenesses.
Yeah, which one there is the HBO likenesses?
There is a specific boxed game that they did a one shot of, which has the character likenesses of Game of Thrones with the HBO characters on it. But it was, that was it. It was the likenesses for that.
Yeah.
That box. That's it.
Yeah.
The other Game of Thrones properties are the RPG, which is just book, and then there's the minis game, which is also just book.
Does Green Ronin still own the RPG rights?
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
Green Ronin owns the RPG
but
rights.
Also, it can't be that can't be called Game of Thrones. It has to be called the Song of Ice and Fire.
Same thing with the minis game. The minis game is right. Cool Mini or Not owns the minis game. I believe it's licensed through Dark Sword. I think Dark Sword has the book rights, or it's something like that. Like they own the miniature rights, but Cool Mini or Not owns the board game rights,
yeah,
or
know.
Something like that.
And I'm sure it's a bunch of legalese nonsense.
And Fantasy Flight still owns the board game rights for
the card game.
No, what about the board game? The Song of
Ice. Oh yeah.
I think that's called Game of Thrones.
No, that's just called the Game of Thrones board game.
The Game of Thrones board game, yeah. The Game of Thrones, as it is off the book. I like that. I was like thinking about that the other day. I'm like, huh. The show is called Game of Thrones, but the book is actually called The Game of Thrones. Or A Game of Thrones, right? Wait.
Well, no, it's called A Game of Thrones.
Yeah, A Game of Thrones. So you think that like D&D, when they were putting it together, were like, people won't understand the A part. Let's get rid of the A. Make it simpler.
You think it's kind of weird that entire series is just named after the first book, but not like just named after the title of the first book?
You know, that happens quite a bit though. When people will do stuff like that, they'll.
Well, yeah. I mean, usually it's I thought things were always kind of named after what the book was named. Like Dune is Dune, and
yeah. But I mean, for something like that, A Song of Ice and Fire is.
I'm not saying that they shouldn't that they should have called it A Song of Ice and Fire. It's just odd that they specifically call it a Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I mean, well, usually the first book is the name of the series. Usually, so like A Wheel of Time and
right,
stuff
like that.
Right, that's true. But this one
that
is
checks out.
It's like Martin specifically went out of his way saying like, no, this is going to be a fantasy series called A Song of Ice and Fire. And it's like blah blah blah. It's gonna be 3 books.
Check out my suspenders.
When he was there, he's like, yeah, it's only gonna be 3 books. And I'll be done by 1998. Excelsior.
Yes, true believers.
Stanley wrote it.
Stanley Ghost wrote it. Nah, there was no like extremely nonsense dialogue. So
yeah, I mean, that's now. So like for example, there's like series like The Gentleman Bastards. None of the books are called The Gentleman Bastards. It's like The Lies of Locke Lamora and blah, 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 all the way down. They don't do it as much anymore, mainly because it's a branding thing. You know, you want to make sure that you have a lot of options open to you. You have this is called The Lies of Locke Lamora is the name of the first book. However, if you're going to sell that, that's not going to sell. That's not a sexy name to sell.
No.
Gentleman Bastards, that's a sexy name.
It's true.
You could sell that. So it's what can you sell? Is basically what it comes down to. No one in HBO is going to watch something called the Song of Ice and Fire. They're like, what is this? Is this going to be like a Simon Bisley painting come to life? I don't know. What
I think Song of Ice and Fire could have played out.
No, I think Game of Thrones is catchy. They're like, oh, it's a game.
Well, Song of Ice and Fire isn't ludicrously long. Usually, the biggest problem with like the hang up names is like they're really really long.
Yeah, but what I say is Song of Ice and Fire is too. It's too much. It's too nerdy. Like people are going to be like, it's too. I'm not going to watch this.
It is very nerdy, and there's not a lot of singing in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, and also it's like that would be the other thing. It's like, why do I call it A Song of Ice and Fire? I don't hear any singing. I don't see one lutist.
Yeah, where's the guy with the flute?
Where's the guy with the harp? Isn't there a harp in these fantasy things?
Where's the flute-man?
Now, is anyone a bard? Where are their bards?
That's right, they had no
That's
bards.
That's what I would be. Yeah. I'm the executive. Me and you are the executives. We're like, all right, it's called The Song of Ice and Fire. I don't see one bard. I see a lot of knights, barbarians.
Who's singing? Wizards. Can we option Tina Turner for this? Tina Turner's dead. Shit.
Is Tina Turner dead?
I don't know.
I don't think she is.
There you go. That would be the boardroom conversation.
Exactly.
Somebody said she's dead and be like, she?
And then we don't do that. And then like D&D are over sitting over there going like, back to the show.
They're just, and then it's just a heated debate about Tina Turner. No, that's Ike Turner.
Yeah, Ike Turner's dead. That's true.
Yeah.
Can we just license We Don't Need Another Hero? You want to license the song from Mad Max 3? Yeah, that's my favorite one.
Thunderdome is your favorite Mad Max?
I like it.
That's how the situation goes. But anyway, the happy ending is that this obviously ludicrous human being is at least will be taken out of society for a few months, hopefully. He'll be back with his next card game. Based on the
Westworld
is Westworld the card game with his electronic point monitoring system. All right, so you know, this isn't going to be a podcast where we're going to do too many side jumps because we got a lot to cover.
Oh, that was not a side jump. That was the top of the gaming news.
Tip top of the gaming news.
Tippy top.
Next thing up is Games Workshop did their Warhammer Fest release.
The Fest.
They did a lot of fucking news. How about the one that's most relevant to us is Adepticon is not going to be doing the Crystal Brush as predicted.
Yep.
We said that, I think it was like two podcasts ago, we were talking about how Crystal Brush is going to go away. There's no reason for Cool Maneer not to do it at Adepticon. No reason for not for Cool Maneer not to sponsor it. Mm-hmm. None of the figures are Cool Maneer not.
Right.
So literally they announce it 2 days later. Games Workshop announces that Adepticon is going to hold the first U.S. Golden Demons since I think it was 2012.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I think it was either 2012 or 2014, but it's at least over 5 years.
It's been a long time getting from there to here.
Wait, that's
Enterprise.
Enterprise, yeah. I hate that fucking song.
That song grew on me really hard.
Was it Faces? State of the Heart or something
Fuck, now I can't remember what the word. It's something of the heart. It's
total eclipse of the heart.
No, but that would be funny.
Turn around every now and then. You know, if you take that song, it's Bonnie Tyler, if you take it and you slow it down on the record player, like if you take a record it turns into Meat Loaf. Well, it's written by the same guy who writes most of Meat Loaf's songs, but Bonnie Raitt is like the female Meat Loaf. Turn around every now and then, I'm a little bit blue.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. And then Old School ruined that song by adding all the fuckins in it, which made it actually kind of better, but it's also dick cheese and you don't care that much. You're like, now Dungeon douchebags are going to be singing it this way.
Douchebags. I don't think anyone really cares about Old School anymore.
I know. It's just something that we went through. We had to go through that phase. No one else has to. We took the brunt of that.
It's done.
You're welcome.
We did it.
We did it. That'll be the title of this podcast. We did it.
We did it.
So, yeah, so U.S. is getting the first Golden... Adepticon's getting the first U.S. Golden Demons. Unsure of whether or not it will stick from year to year.
Yeah.
It might travel. Some years it might go to the LVO. It might go to Nova. It might go to... I don't know what are the other ones that are in the U.S.
Nova, more like Blova.
Yeah, okay. That's actually true. Well, this is the reason why I think it's important that it goes to Adepticon, is that Adepticon is not just a 40K tournament. Adepticon is a shit ton of other things. As it's a celebration of the tabletop wargaming hobby, as opposed to Nova or the LVO, which are just fucking tournaments. Like, this is all about like going to the store and people releasing new things and like all sorts of other crazy shit going on that you don't see at these other tournaments. And also, Adepticon is probably the biggest.
I think it's definitively the biggest.
Definitively the biggest. I'm not 100% sure. But.
I think it's the biggest pure minis thing out there. Period. I don't think anything else comes close.
What about my basement con?
Hey,
what about the College of DuPage con?
If you've got a basement that can fit as many people as Adepticon, that's an impressively sized basement. And or you just have extremely good stacking skills.
There's also a room in my basement I've never been in. Sometimes behind the door I hear screaming.
Nice.
But I was actually...
Let's go bust that door open.
I was talking about this with some other people who are, I wouldn't say big names in the miniature hobby, but are relatively higher ups in the miniature hobby. And we were talking that it's like the other companies need to take a lead from Games Workshop and turn Adepticon into a bigger paint and some bigger painting things. So, for example, Fantasy Flight should have a painting competition for the Star Wars stuff. Privateer Press should do a painting competition for. They got their own convention.
Yeah, Fantasy Flight doesn't give a shit about that aspect. And Privateer Press has Lock and Load.
Lock and Load. They have Lock and Load.
Yeah. So Privateer doesn't really.
But they do. They do their painting competition at Gen Con anyway.
Yes. Yeah. They do a painting competition at Lock and Load, but like the big privateer, all of the big privateer events all happen at Gen Con.
Yeah.
And that's always been that way, and there's no reason for them to switch it to Adepticon because that's like like, if you're going to play a privateer event, like, it's at Gen Con. It's always been that way.
Yeah, because I know for a fact that they added a... The Horus Heresy events is doing a 30K painting competition.
What, that's the game, Horus Heresy?
But that's Games Workshop attached to it. But they need to do stuff for the other companies need to do stuff there to kind of get that going, like a big painting competitions, because you're only going to have Games Workshop doing Adepticon for a Golden Demon. I'm doing Golden Demon. I'm going to enter this year. I got a couple things that I've painted over the last 5 years that I would like to enter. I think I could do well, and I don't want to enter them into Gen Con because Gen Con's painting competition is ass. There's no rhyme or reason to it. It's a bunch of people who work for Reaper who have no painting skills making judgments on things, and you're just like, no. No. I'm going to get in trouble for saying that because obviously someone who works for Reaper is going to be like, hey, they've mentioned Reaper. Aww, they mentioned Reaper. I like Reaper models. I
love Reaper models.
I think they're fantastic.
I think Reaper models are great. I love Bones. I really like
the new Bones. Yeah, Black Bones or whatever it's called.
Bones.
Is that what it's called? Black Bones?
I think it's called Bones Black.
Okay, why are you doing it that it should be Black Bones? Black Bones makes it sound like piratey.
Well, it's because Bones is the brand. They want to make sure that you say Bones first.
Oh, brand I guess you're right. You're right. I got moved.
They're phenomenal. Like all of the
yeah, those are really nice.
All of the complaints I had about the initial Bones line are all completely remedied by the Bones Black.
Yeah, they're a little bit more expensive though, aren't they?
It's fractional.
Yeah, expensive.
It's like. If it was a $6.50 figure as a regular Bones, it's a $7 figure as a Bones Black. Yeah. So it's like irrelevant.
Yeah. I said expensive, like either a 2-year-old or Juan Diaz.
Expensive.
It's expensive.
You've got to watch out. This is expensive.
All these titties are expensive. Juan Diaz, what are you doing here?
You can find better pussy. Fuck it.
Oh, no. Juan Diaz is not Cheech Marin.
I know.
I'd say Juan Diaz is more like the guy from Game of Thrones.
What about Ricardo?
Ricardo?
Have you seen, Ricardo?
Yes, I know Ricardo. Yes. No, I see...
You got what I need.
No, I see him as more of a Oberon from...
Oberon Martell?
Yeah.
Oberon Martell looks like my Uncle Zorin.
You have an uncle named Zorin. That is
and
perfect.
And he looks exactly like Oberon Martell.
Nice.
Like, if you want to know what my Uncle Zorin looks like, he looks like Oberon Martell.
That's what I liked about... I like about... Dorne in the Game of Thrones world is that it's very much the land of hats, you know, because you know, like the planet of hats from Star Trek, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the land of hats is like they're just throwing every Mediterranean culture, just throw them in Dorne. It's like you got the Greeks, you got the Spaniards, you got the Italians, you got some Moroccans.
If it's Mediterranean, that's it. I actually had some Mediterranean food last night. And it was fucking delicious.
Was it wrapped in grape leaves?
There's a little place across the street from the Marcus Theater in Addison.
Yeah,
it's called Mediterranean.
Oh, okay.
It was delicious as fuck. I highly recommend it. If you're a local and you're going to Marcus, go across the street, and it's like in the middle of the strip mall. They've been there for a few years, I guess.
Speaking of local references, I went up to what's the theater that's over, not too far from here.
The cheapy one, the picture show.
No. The nice theater with the recliners.
Marcus.
That's the Marcus?
Yeah, okay. Marcus has recliners.
Yeah. They're like the tan recliners kind of color.
Tan. No, like Marcus ones are like red.
Okay, No, this is I went to this.
Was it a Bruinview, like a studio movie girl?
No. I went to this theater to go see Endgame for a second time with the family, and they had the comfiest seats I've ever sat in my life. Not to say that like the other theaters by us with the recliners are bad. The Starlight recliners, they're not bad, but these were like plush. These were like, I feel comforted. I feel like I'm in a womb.
Yeah, I don't know which theater you're talking about.
I know, that's a weird side note we shouldn't be going into.
But why not?
So Adepticon is doing the Golden Demons. That's the big deal. So it'll be interesting. I'm going to enter Lord of the Rings, because every year when the Golden Demon was in the U.S., I always thought, like, I should enter fucking Lord of the Rings, because no one ever enters Lord of the Rings, and I at least have a chance of getting a demon. I'm doing it fucking this year. I'm going to enter Lord of the Rings. I'm going to do the Mouth of Sauron.
You're going to get sharked by some expert.
Well, of course. It's not gonna matter. I'm not looking for gold. I'm just looking for a demon, man. I'm looking a place.
I see.
Yeah. I'm into horse racing now. It's all about win, play, show. I go for the trifecta.
Nice.
And also Games Workshop released their new paint their new paint system, which is
contrast.
Contrast, one thick coat, which is basically
with three C's.
Yeah, one thick coat, which I also, that's what I call my diarrhea.
You have thick diarrhea.
Yeah,
that's
one thick coat.
That's a problem.
It's basically just a heavy ink wash that will recess.
It's a base coat and wash built in one.
Yeah, it's base coat wash built into one. It has a specialized primer that you have to use.
You don't have to use it.
They're saying you have to.
You can use it over. It works over anything.
Yes, it does.
But if you want the specific color result, you should use the suggested
primer. $30 bottle of primer.
But you can just use. It looks like all you need to do is use a colored spray rather than a. Because from what I've looked at, it looks like that the bone, it's more of a spray paint than a spray primer.
Yeah.
So if you were to just airbrush a bone paint, it'll be fine.
Could be. Yes, the specialized spray that they talk about, where you will eliminate those extra steps, is a $30 bottle of primer.
Yeah, you don't really need to use that.
It's $30 for that. The only other one that was like that was the Retributor spray, the gold one. That is nice, but it's not $30
worth. I actually have to disagree. I think that the Retributor gold is $30 worth. Having used it and like having like sprayed like a gold, like if you're doing a gold army, that is absolutely worth it. That
I use those on the dwarfs.
On the
dwarfs, amazing.
Yeah. That, like if you
thank you, Cole.
If you are doing an army that's actually gold, that spray is actually unparalleled. I'm very much like I feel that spray paint is all ludicrously expensive, and that is a very expensive spray paint. I'm not going to say it's not expensive, but having used it for an army, I was like, this really cut a lot of work out.
But the blood, sweat, tears, and anger of painting an army is something that everybody should experience, Steve.
Right. If you want the blood, sweat, and tears, don't use it.
I was going to say, the anger.
If you want the full experience of going like, why doesn't this gold fucking look right? Don't use the spray.
I was about to say, but I use my Retributor in an airbrush, and it's fine. But then again, I'm also thinking like, not everybody's using an airbrush. Everybody's trying to brush that on. And as a person who's brushed on Retributor, I will tell you, it is awful. It is the worst fucking thing in the world is brushing that on. Especially when you're brushing it on over black.
Oh my God.
It is. And that Retributor paint is very, very easily separatable. It separates so quickly that it's like almost impossible to keep at a consistent level. So, yeah, I mean, whatever. But I mean, so they're doing this. They have like a shit ton. They actually brought back a couple old colors.
I saw that. Ghostly Gray, I think, is one of them.
Yeah,
which is dope. I loved Ghostly Gray.
All of the colors are kind of like callbacks to older paints. So yeah, it's basically like a mixture of a ink and an ink and like a really thinned out base coat color.
Yeah, you can do it over. I followed on when the fest was going on is they let people fuck around with the paints.
Yeah,
so
people
that's
were drinking it.
So that's what I was following.
Were smearing it all over their genitals.
Yeah, they were inserting the entire container into their anus and trying to suck the contrast paint out and then poop just the empty container. an impressive feat.
Impressive. I wasn't even mad.
Wasn't even mad.
It was Duncan. Like, Duncan did it.
Yeah, Duncan did it. And then his tongue turned purple.
Yeah.
So I was following that, and I was seeing all the things that people were fucking around with the contrast paint. So I've seen that. I feel that the contrast paints are very, very cool. I like them a lot. I don't believe that they'll replace anything.
No, they won't.
But if you want to use them for what they are, like I think they're going to be the most useful for is those like literally for those board game projects or like the things where you're like, I want to paint this, but I don't want to spend so much fucking time on it. Like if you're painting up Zombicide, those are going to be amazing for Zombicide.
Yeah,
spray it bone and you're going to go like, this guy's got green shirt. And you're going to do all the green shirts. Then you can do all the red pants and you can do all the gray skin.
What? You're absolutely right on that. I honestly don't think I'd ever use it for Games Workshop figures, but for doing Zombicide, that would probably be.
Because you're like, just going to spray it and then do the contrast and
that's
done.
That's it. Yeah.
And you're done. And it's going to look good because it's for a fucking board game. It's going to be exactly what you want.
Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about that, you're right.
That's the first thing I thought. I was just like, oh yeah.
I always see it like in terms of Games Workshop, and I'm like, fucking plebs.
Yeah.
You can't fucking paint a figure. Learn how to paint.
Yeah. So it's going to be like
goddamn
scrubs. It's going to be like, oh cool, my Zombicide's now fully painted, or like insert whatever board game with a lot of minis you have. It's now fully painted.
Yeah. I mean that works out for me. And speaking of board games, guess what company's back from the dead? Soda Pop. They've been updating
their... I don't think they technically died.
No, they didn't. They were on life support. They've been updating their Kickstarter for the new one. They're actually back. They got stuff back in stock. They're paying off some of their debts. They're looking to get the Kickstarter out.
Sounds like they found an investor.
Maybe they did. I think that they're working from the ground up on it. And you know what? As we say, it sucks that they had to go through that. But I have a lot of faith in the company. I like the company.
Well, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog says, you live and you learn.
As they learned from their trailer. Yeah. Why would anybody want to see that movie? Why? Not just like in terms of like, why would you want to see a video game movie? Why would you want to see a Sonic the Hedgehog movie?
People love Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Yeah,
I'm going to go see it because...
People love Big Bang Theory.
Well, I don't think I'll watch it in theaters. I will watch the Sonic the Hedgehog movie, but not in theaters.
I mean, I will probably have to watch it too. I have children, but no, I'm not taking...
Speaking of video game movies, I actually went and saw Detective Pikachu yesterday.
Well, of course you did.
It was...
Designed for children.
Worse than I had hoped, but better than I feared. That would be my result.
Was it a children's movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think anybody who went in there thinking that it's going to be the gritty Pokemon movie that they always wanted should be shot.
I don't think anyone wants a gritty Pokemon
Gamers
movie.
Gamers, rise up! No, there are people who want a gritty... You name it. If a person is over the age of 25...
I don't think there's enough people who... I don't think there's enough people who would want a gritty Pokemon movie. Most of the Pokemon fans I've seen, their complaints about the Detective Pikachu movie were all that it wasn't like a cartoon. Like it wasn't bright and colorful and crazy.
It wasn't
it was a gritty reboot.
There you go.
Because I mean, it was very realistic. It was very dark.
Name something from the 90s that was a childhood staple, and there are people, especially in their mid to late 20s, who are like, they need to do a fucking gritty ass Gargoyles movie.
I don't think that's actually accurate. Every time a gritty reboot actually happens, it always fails miserably.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that people won't stop complaining and saying that they want it. You know how many people talk about like
those have got to be some sort of advertising bot plant because the only people like making the gritty reboots are like the movie studios, and like every time they make a gritty reboot, no one goes to see it.
You're like,
so maybe it's maybe it's the same two guys. It's either a weird bot advertising campaign or it's the same two guys who post everywhere, and those two guys definitely go see the gritty reboot.
That's Mike and Jim. Mike and Jim go out and they just talk about how they want... you know what? All I want, dude, is I want a new Star Wars movie that only focuses on the 501st. And it's the opening is just like Saving Private Ryan. Everything is just like the opening of Saving Private Ryan. That's all I want.
You know what I want? I want an Animaniacs movie where Wacko gets killed and Dot and Yakko go on a revenge quest like John Wick style.
That'd actually be pretty cool. I'm not gonna lie.
Mexico, Canada, and he's
going to
the different countries and killing
Quebec
people.
Caribbean, Salvador, too. Yeah. Costa Rica, Botswana.
Where did you kill people? I've killed them here.
All right. So they also previewed Warcry, the new box set for Fantasy, which is a Fantasy
kill.
Is that the Warcry?
Yes.
Which is
Age of Mordheim.
Yeah. It's Age of Kill Team is more than Age of Mordheim.
I mean, Mordheim is basically Kill Team. It was Fantasy Kill Team.
Yeah, like, I mean...
That always was.
Yeah, so instead of doing, like, Necromunda, they're doing... or Old Mordheim, they're doing Kill Team, but for Fantasy. Looks really good.
Necromunda cheese?
Yes. Necromunda cheese. They have...
Got them!
If the box set is what I think it is, for $160, you're getting two warbands in there and a really nice set of terrain.
Yeah, the train looks super nice. So, and that new Age of Sigmar train they previewed also looks super fucking nice with those like sphinxes and shit.
I don't like that.
Oh, I love the sphinxes.
I think it looks kind of dumb. I don't like the fact that you can't put figures on the stairs.
I will. That's been an issue for minis for forever.
Yeah.
Because if you make the stairs in the correct scale, you can't use them in the game.
Yeah.
And if you make the stairs usable, they look weird.
I understand, but I'm just saying I don't like anything that has stairs like that because it just it makes it.
But you know what you can do? You can use plastic hard to just make it work.
Make it work, Steve. Make it work.
Make it work.
Yeah. They also previewed the, what is it, Forbidden Secrets, whatever, what's the...
Forbidden Power.
What was the old commercial that used to come on late night, where it was like, secrets, you know, with like...
I don't know, is that an 800 line?
Yeah, like an 800 line commercial, they'd be like, Forbidden Secrets.
I don't know that one, but I like it.
It's like every time the Games Workshop is releasing something new, it always sounds like a porno line from late night cable. It's like, call 1-800-SIGMAR.
Are you one of the faithful? Well then, call 1-800-SIGMAR. It's for only the faithful.
Only the faithful. Can I speak to an orc, please?
Oi, what you wearing? Oi, me loincloth smells like musty mildew.
Yeah, keep talking.
Nice.
Keep going. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did that. They previewed Apocalypse, which they have movement trays now for 40K.
Yay! Well, those movement trays, I think they made for Age of Sigmar, but they were like, hey, we could probably figure out a way to sell these for 40K.
Yeah. They will be out for Sigmar very, very shortly. Yeah. But they'll call it something special. They'll be like, these are the movement trays of Grungy.
Azir Clouds.
Yeah, Azir Clouds that we're releasing. And they sell them in a bag of three, because three is the most useless number that they could sell it in. And because everything comes in units of 5 or 10, it'll never come in units of 15. So they have to sell it in bags of three.
Yeah.
And it'll be... one of them will be 25mm rounds. The other one will be 32mm rounds. And one will be 40mm rounds. And they'll be all in the same bag together. So you have to buy multiples in order to get them. Or talk to someone who has a 3D printer.
Finally.
Yeah. And they'll sell in a bag for $15. And then the guy will be like, you'll go up. Then Steve will go to me and go, can you print these? I'll be like, yeah, okay.
Great. I don't need half these.
Yeah. There are already people who sell them for super cheap anyway. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they do MDF woodcut and everything else.
Yeah, there's plenty of those. I really like the wood ones myself.
Yeah. There is a cool ST, a cool file I saw for the Sigmar ones. I got to see if I can find it again, where they are movable. So, like, you could either make them a straight line, but the pieces collapse together so that you could make them in different formations.
Oh, that's
which
kinda
is
cool.
Kind of cool.
I have the ones I have are I have the cloud shape. They're two in front and three behind.
Yeah, that's nice.
Those ones I like.
Ones that are not separated. They actually like is one big blobby thing.
Right,
but they all fit.
You move them in fives. Yeah. It's just the most convenient.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the standard one that I like. But there are also the gamey ones where it's like. They're like five circles that are 1 inch apart.
Yeah.
So if you're doing whatever, you want to spread them across.
But like that, I don't even think, I don't think that kind of thing even really matters much anymore because there's no templates anymore. I think all the templates are gone, but now.
Well, in 40K, it will matter.
There are also in AOS too, there's the straight line things. Like how many models does this straight line hit? So like technically, yes, doing the 1 inch exactly apart is a thing. But there's also that like accidental, I've seen it happen now a couple times. The accidental, I've moved this unit out of coherency. Oh shit.
Coherency!
Because now things just die when you move them out of coherency.
I've always said that is a mass. That was like the biggest change from 1 to 2 was the coherency rule. If you go back to that old podcast we were talking about, I said that's gonna fuck up a lot more people.
Yeah, so it's like dude removes two casualties and then like they go. He's like, those are out of coherency now, and it's just like, it's like you're gonna have to kill a lot of models.
Just gonna kill them all.
Yeah, that's why they need to be very careful. To not have any targeted specific model killing spells now.
Yeah,
because that would be very bad.
Yeah, that's you know what? It's whatever. It might be. We'll have to see. The General's Compendium got their release date in for
the
June.
The GHB.
So we'll know. And they're, one of the things Steve's looking forward to is how to play 1,000-point games.
It's going to be a variant for 1,000-point games. So yeah. I'm certainly intrigued.
Because right now they have... the armies are designed to be built around 1, 2, and 3,000-point games. If you're playing a match game. Anything other than that is you should just play open. It doesn't really matter. You know, my personal feeling is if you're playing anything as low as 1,000, because of the restrictions in battle line and the way battle line units usually have their special rules, I don't think it's worth playing 1,000 points. But you can.
It's weird. Like, because the thing that makes most of the game is designed to function around
a large block of figures.
Battalions.
Yeah.
No, War Scroll battalions.
Oh, War Scroll battalions.
Like, that's the way the game is designed. It's designed for you to, like, build your army.
Natural light!
Build your army or...
sorry, that was just...
Force around War Scroll battalions. And at 1,000 points, it becomes very difficult to use a War Scroll battalion. So a lot of the...
Yeah.
A lot of the, like, I guess I would say flavor of the game kind of goes away.
Yeah. And as we were talking about offline, it was just like, that was always the case with Fantasy 2. Is like, you want to play a game of Fantasy under 2,000 points? Good luck with that. The game blows.
Yeah. And the armies were totally out of whack when, like, it's like, oh, you're playing Vampire Accounts at 1,000 points?
I have a black coach. That's it.
Yeah. It's like, where's your necromancer? All right, cool. I'm killing that guy.
That's true, too. Except for, was not Path to Glory. What was the skirmish?
Warbands.
Warbands, which is Steve's favorite.
I fucking love Warbands.
Warbands is great.
So good.
Except for Tomb King spam.
But
Chariot
spam. But they were cheating. You couldn't do that. You couldn't spam chariots.
Yeah, you could, because they were core units. So you could bring one.
No, they were only core if your general was a Tomb King, who's a lord choice, who you can't use in Warbands.
There was something. There was something
they
that
had
broke
a,
it.
They had a special rule. The Tomb King's Warband had a specific special rule where they could take... You could still only use one unit, but you could take up to 5 chariots as one unit.
No, I'll have to see.
For Warbands. That was their special...
I just remember somebody spamming Tomb King chariots.
They were probably cheating.
Maybe.
Or, I mean, they might not have been doing it intentionally, but they were probably, like, accidentally cheating.
This was like, 12 years
ago,
but, so...
But, like, because their one special rule they had, because the way they... Because special choices, you could take one. You could take no rare choices, and you could take one special choice.
Yeah.
And
it was, like, the minimum unit... count was halved.
Right.
Well,
like they put specific restrictions on how many models you could take. So, like, normally your chariot, like, you could take one.
Yeah.
With the Tomb Kings, specifically the Tomb Kings, they let you take up to 5 chariots in the one unit that was in their, like, Warband special rules.
My favorite was the Empire, because they still let you take detachments to the side. So you'd have your, like, 5 crossbowmen, and you'd have 2 little spearmen or swordsmen on the side.
That was what the game was fun, because it was mini Warhammer.
Yeah, it was mini Warhammer.
It was mini Warhammer, and it really had a lot of the, like, it kept a lot of the things that made Warhammer great, but it was faster. It got rid of a lot of the things that sucked about Warhammer, but it kept all the good stuff. IMO.
Yeah.
I think it was the best version of Warhammer, so...
Personally. Wasn't 6th, so it wasn't the best version of Warhammer.
I mean, it was 6th. Warbands was 6th edition.
No, Warbands was 7th.
Warbands was 6th edition.
We'll have to...
I will bet you a bajillion billion dollars.
I'm probably the only one who has the archive of all of the old books enough to take a look through there.
So I'll bet you $1 billion that Warbands was 6th
A billion
edition.
Bison dollars?
Yeah, $1 billion. That's worth 5 billion British pounds once he kidnaps their queen.
It's true. So, is there anything else that came out of Warhammer Fest that I needed to talk about? I don't think so. Like, the paint was the big reveal.
The picture of Duncan staring at the advertisement for the contrast that said one thick coat, like, looking completely aghast was pretty funny.
I love that one thick coat was their tagline for it, because it really does sound like a bowel movement. It truly does. And I even sent you the picture of, like, the butt shooting the one thick coat out.
Yeah, no, it's definitely more of a jizz thing.
Yeah, that too.
Because you don't coat anything with your shit.
Well, that's why it sounds like
you can't coat with your shit. You coat with your nut.
Like, yeah, but I mean,
one thick coat on the face, you can call it glaze.
That's true. That's a glaze. That's not a one thick coat.
No, but you can make it one thick coat.
My poop. So yeah, I think
just
that was,
make sure you eat a lot of pineapple.
Yeah, a lot of pineapple. And then the also something that's tangentially tabletop gaming related is they actually released a release date for Classic WoW, which I'm super excited about. I'm the only person I probably in this area who's super excited about Classic WoW. I'm like, I could go see Lakhmadan before the actual destruction. I'm super excited about it again.
Lakhmadan.
I played vanilla WoW so much in the 2000s.
A lot of people did.
I know.
But it was like 20 years ago.
I loved it, though. It was so much fun. And was it like 3 years ago or 2 years ago? I did a replay of WoW when I was on my... It was actually when I had my accident, when I had the back accident. I was replaying WoW because I just downloaded it for free, and so I leveled like... 20 characters up to 20 just to go through it. And I actually ended up paying for a subscription and leveling up one of the characters max. And I'll tell you, it got really boring towards the end. So yeah. I was like, I'm not even playing this anymore. So what's the point?
MMOs all have that problem.
Yeah.
They're like you get to the higher end stuff and it's just kind of like,
yeah,
there's only a few that it supposedly don't. So I don't have the time to, the problem with an MMO is like the upkeep. The maintenance is really tough. Like, I play games, like, I'll play a game heavily for, like, a week, and I'll, like, play it every day or whatever, and then, like, I'll stop for a while, and I'll come back and play again, and then play it intermittently. The problem is that type of play pattern doesn't work for MMOs. No. Like, you have to play every day if you're playing an MMO.
Yeah.
If you, because you need to do your dailies or get your daily rewards or do this and that. Like, you can't take breaks. And especially because a lot of MMOs are... like complicated or like you know you remember rotations and specific things, so like you'll log on like I'll log on and be like, fuck, I don't remember how to play this game.
That's true too.
Like I don't remember what I'm supposed to do.
We were talking about this, is like, what are they keeping from vanilla WoW? Because there were a lot of shitty parts of vanilla WoW.
Right. There's a huge number of questions that I would say, because it's called...
Fuck, Burning Crusade was awesome.
Because it's called WoW Classic.
Yeah.
But there's a lot, like, what does that mean? Because there's a lot of content that would be considered... Because if you consider Classic to be level 1 to 60, there's a lot of content that currently exists in World of Warcraft right now for levels 1 to 60 that didn't exist in vanilla.
Like, and some of the stuff is really important for gameplay, like horses. Like horses used to cost a fuck ton.
Right.
In
are
WoW.
You gonna get? Are you gonna have access to the cheaper travel? Is it gonna, you know what? Like, because they added extra. Because I mean, how many? Like, if they're going back to vanilla, how many updates? Because they added extra travel locations. They added extra dungeon. There's a lot of like variables.
Yeah,
there.
And not only that, but they also eliminated a lot of the add-ons that were really, really helpful.
Yes.
In that old vanilla WoW.
Yes.
Yeah. So that no longer exists.
Yeah. Are you losing XP? Can you ever respec? Because I remember the worst thing about vanilla WoW was like, fuck, I put a shitty skill point down. That's wasted forever.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So like, that's an important question. You know, there's a lot of things. I mean,
brought back the classic dances.
The 10 people who end up playing will probably have a good time.
Oh no.
But they'll never be able to molten core raid.
No, there'll be way more than 10. I know there's a shit ton of people who are excited about Classic WoW.
I don't know. Blizzard burned a lot of their good faith points at this point with the Diablo Immortal, and like, I mean,
yeah, but WoW players
got booed at BlizzCon. Like that's absurd.
Yeah. Well, but you got to, Diablo is different than WoW. WoW
True.
Is one of those things that it's like, WoW is like, it's Star Wars. Even the people, like, the way I put it is like, WoW fans are like Star Wars fans. Even the Star Wars fans who were burned by the prequels are still like, yeah, I'm a Star Wars fan. Like, even the ones who absolutely hated the prequels were still like, yeah, I like Star Wars. And that, like, they're gonna go see that.
Well, I think some of them might have been downgraded from Star Wars fan to I like Star Wars.
Yeah. So, like, WoW...
Because, like, I would consider myself in that camp. Like,
yeah.
I used to be a Star Wars fan. Like, I had toys. I had a ton of Star Wars shit. Now, I own nothing Star Wars.
Yeah. But it's like, you played WoW, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't, like...
Everyone played WoW at some point.
When you hear, like, they're bringing back Classic WoW, doesn't it hit just, like, a little nostalgia button for you? Like, it just releases a little bit of a...
Oh, no.
A good memory endorphin.
If I had the time
yeah.
or schedule to commit to playing an MMO, I would absolutely play.
Yeah.
But I don't. Yeah. It's just, it's not.
But that's what I'm saying.
Again, we're going back to my play pattern. I can't play an MMO with that play pattern.
But it hits that button. It hits a boop, boop, boop. And it's like, ooh, serotonin. Nice. No. Oh, yeah. Gnomes. I'm going to play my gnome.
Ooh, gnomes.
And because, like, and then you look back, it's like all of, like, the classic. Like, this is before the Draenei, before Blood Elves. Like, you're just going to, you get your classic six, and that's it. Or eight, classic eight. Because you get humans, dwarves, gnomes, and dark, and the elves, night elves, and then orcs,
Tauren,
trolls,
and undead.
And undead. So you get all that fun stuff. You're going to be able to go up to, like, the fucking Deadlands. Oh my God. I might, if this came out earlier, where I actually had summer break, you wouldn't see me for like 3 months. I would come out of my house and I'd look like long fingernails with a big beard. Like, well,
you can't have long fingernails because you're going to be typing. You're going to be on the keyboard, so your fingernails are going to be like sharpened to points.
Trust me, I work with enough women who have long fingernails to know how to use the keyboard properly with long fingernails.
I mean, I have long fingernails and I
you
type
do.
Super fast.
You do. Those are a little eek. Yes, that was so the vanilla WoW is coming out in August. I think it's like August 27th, some like ridiculously late date that misses summer break. So people are dumb. And then there was like one more thing I wanted to talk about that I can't remember. We had a fuck ton to talk about anyway. I think we're pretty much done with the podcast as is.
Yeah.
Yeah, just about. Do we have any other gaming news that we need to talk about that you think of?
I got nothing.
All right, good, because I wanted to cover all of that. Did you catch up with Game of Thrones yet?
Yes, I am ready to watch the last episode tomorrow.
Are you having fun with the salt online? I mean, I understand their complaints, but the fact that they're complaining so much is just making me want to make it horrendous so that the salt continues.
Well, the thing the storyline I cared the absolute most about and was most invested in was resolved in a very satisfying manner in the last episode. So now I kind of don't really have any skin left in the game.
Yeah,
yeah.
Was that Clegane Bowl?
Yeah, Clegane Bowl. Yeah, yeah. The Clegane Bowl was the thing I cared about the most, and like that was awesome. I was very happy with how that ended. And that fight was fucking dope. That was like the best sword fight ever been in a thing.
my only complaint I ever had about Clegane Bowl was the fact that Sandor looks so much older than the mountain. The mountain is my age. Right, and the Rory McClane who plays the Hound, he's like 50, or maybe not 50, but he's like in his mid 40s, so he looks way older than the mountain. So it's kind of that always threw me off, but whatever. I mean, I'm not gonna. The dude had a helmet on for the last three seasons.
Yeah,
so.
You haven't seen his face for quite some time.
And then, spoilers to anybody listening. We're sorry that we're spoiling this, but whatever. So you could turn it off.
Game of Thrones spoilers, so turn it off now.
We're not talking any more gaming stuff. We're just going to talk about Game of Thrones and maybe some endgame stuff before the end of this. So you could turn it off now. Thanks for listening. All right. So anyway, when they take the helmet off and he's like, oh, he's a zombie. I was kind of like, yeah, so we all knew that.
He wasn't like a regular zombie. He was like some sort of weird thing.
Yeah, he was the mountain. He was shaved. So we've never seen his face without a fucking beard on. So he looked weird.
He's not undead. He's like a weird, like quasi like immortal thing.
Yeah.
The fucking scene where she's like, Sir Clegane, stay by my side. And he's just like, nope. And then the fucking dude's like, listen to your queen. And he just fucking grabs that Meister and is just like, boom. And
he one-shots
just
him.
Just one-shots him, just mashes him under the fucking stone. I was like, oh, shit. Like, that scene, like, from top to bottom, I was so excited. I was just like, fuck, yes.
There's some dumb stuff, too. It's like the Hound telling Arya, don't live your life for revenge. It's like, did we forget about all the people that she already killed for revenge?
I think he meant more of like, don't throw your life away for revenge.
But that's also us being kind of like knowing how fantasy works and like tropes and like how to write, maybe.
Yeah, throw your life away for revenge. It's not don't live your life for revenge. Yeah. There's a big difference.
Yeah, we understand that. However, the writers didn't really. Like, so what we do as people who understand fantasy and are often disappointed by the things that we love coming to the screen or whatever else have you, are able to go like, all right, we're going to fill in the gaps in our head. Like, brain, release better memories than what we actually watched. And we're like, ah.
Well, the big thing about this season and stuff too is, and the flaws that people are like bitching about with Game of Thrones the show are really simple. The majority is just it's condensed time.
Yeah,
like they're cramming content episodes that are not big enough. Like this season only being six episodes, that's why you have like the rubber time issue where there's like the way people were talking about fast travel was like...
Click save fast travel.
Right. Well, people were talking about fast travel in this one. Like, it didn't happen before in Game of Thrones. And I was like, no, fast travel started around, like, season five. Yeah, season six. Like,
well, season five was the big one for fast travel.
Yeah, and then there's, like... Yeah, there's like, fast travel has been a part of Game of Thrones for a while.
Since they surpassed the books, fast travel... if you go back, when they passed the books... Everything kind of went downhill. Like, and I've been saying that for a while. So it's like people who are all of a sudden like, wah! I'm like, first of all, you guys aren't fantasy fans. You guys are TV fans.
They're not anime fans either.
And they're not anime. Exactly. And I'll say this. Most people who are legit fantasy, I shouldn't say fans, but people who read fantasy books and people who watch fantasy TV shows, we're just kind of like, we understand that it's going to blow. Like, it's not like, and where our brain is going to fill in all of the blanks. We understand how to do this.
Doggo. There's a dog outside.
And people who are like TV fans are like, but that doesn't make any sense. I'm like, it's a show about fucking dragons, people. Like, you gotta just get over it. Just enjoy the ride. Strap in. Smoke a doobie. You'll be all good.
Ah, a doobie. Let's Bogart that fat boy.
That's going to be my other catchphrase from this show from now on. It's going to be sit back, strap in, smoke a doobie. And also, did you finally see Endgame?
I did.
Yeah, did you like it?
I did see Endgame. I liked Endgame significantly more than Infinity War.
Really? I liked Infinity War way more. Yeah, I thought it was a much more linear movie.
I liked Endgame a lot more than Infinity War.
Yeah. You like Fat Thor?
I guess. I mean, sure.
Yeah. People loving Fat Thor.
Yeah, sure. I mean, if you want to do a very quick visual representation of PTSD, that's definitely a way to do it.
Yeah. Or the comic, or the fan base of the Avengers mostly, just fat guy. Sitting there.
No, but he was jacked fat.
He was jacked fat?
Yeah, they're like...
That's what I like to say, think that I am at this point. I'm jacked fat.
Nah.
Yeah.
You gotta have, like, the arms.
It's true.
That's what makes you jacked fat. It's always, like... It's always the guy who's, like... The power lifters. Like, the guys who are, like... It's like, he kind of looks like he's a flabby tummy. And then you look at his arms and you're like, oh, he could break me.
He's jacked fat.
Yeah, he's jacked fat. Yeah
he's
so
new.
Thor was definitely jacked fat.
Yeah.
But I liked the movie overall. Professor Hulk was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I fucking loved Professor Hulk.
I consider this an absolute win.
When he gave Ant-Man his tacos, I was just like, hey.
Well, I like that. And you know why? I was thinking about it because I've been thinking about movies a lot more critically lately. And, you know, where every scene needs to make sense. Every scene needs to do something. Every shot needs to do something. Mm-hmm. And that scene is very important because what it shows is that fucking hard shell tacos suck.
It's right? True.
They're the worst type of tacos. They're very white people tacos, and they suck. No one likes hard shell tacos because they break very easily. However, the Hulk is able to hold a hard shell taco between two fingers and hand it to Ant-Man. Two hard shell tacos. And he's able to do that without breaking the brittle shell. And just goes to show you how Hulk has... How much control he has.
That's good.
Because it's a very, very important character building scene. And it's not only that, a character building scene, but it's funny. Like, the way that they do it is funny because...
With Ant-Man holding the shell and, like, everything blowing out of the taco.
And then, like...
He's just got a shell.
And then Hulk coming by and, you know, giving him... It's funny. And then Rhodey shows up and he's like, whatever, regular size guy.
Yeah.
Regular size man.
Regular size guy.
That made me laugh more than anything. I'm like, man, Ant-Man's getting really made fun of. Like, Ant-Man is that dude in the group who just gets roasted constantly. It's like, Ant-Man
He's the guy who everyone likes, but they all roast him. That's absolutely who Ant-Man is.
I don't even think everybody likes him. I just think everybody roasts him. And the thing,
I think people like Ant-Man.
Well, you'd like to hope that everybody likes Ant-Man.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, it seems like they like him.
He's one of the more useful members of that team.
Yeah, well, I think it's because...
More useful than Hawkeye.
I think it's because he's like he's out of his element. Like he's just not.
He's not.
He's not Hank Pym.
No.
Yeah. But he's got like sweet powers, and he has like a vague understanding of what he's doing.
Yeah.
And he can come up with good ideas, but he doesn't know how to actualize. Like he comes up with the whole plan, but he doesn't know how he can make it happen. He's just like, I have this great idea, but I don't know how to do it. So then they're like, well, we need to find someone who's smart. Which is cool. So I think he's liked, but it's a little, you know.
My favorite part where
he gets roasted.
Where he goes, time heist. I'm like, yes, it's time heist.
It's a time heist. like hey, the plan was mine. It's a time heist plan. You're like, oh no, the time heist is a stupid idea.
Yeah. Well, and
now suddenly you want in on the time heist.
Well, and that's another thing that like fans were bitching about was like all the time travel, and I'm like, you know what?
Have you never like heard of comic books?
That's what I said. I go, these are obviously people who have never read a comic book.
They don't even need to have read comic books, because like fucking time travel in comics is like constant. It's in every one of the cards. I'm fairly certain, with maybe the sole exception of Spider-Man on Fox, I think every animated superhero cartoon ever has had a fucking time travel arc.
Yeah, it's just the
X-Men Fox cartoon time travels like in like the first half of the first fucking season.
Well, I mean, there's
Days of Future Past like immediately.
But the ramifications of the time travel that they've presented in this movie are horrendous. Like, it's awful when you think about it. Like, what happens? Okay, so here's a couple examples that I thought of when I was watching it. What about people who disappeared on an airplane? Do they just show up midair? Do they, like, they just, poof, they show up and then just fall to their deaths? That's horrendous. What about people who were, like, pregnant and then the baby got ghosted? Are they all of a sudden pregnant again? What the hell? This is horrendous. What about people who lost their wives or husbands and have moved on?
I think the power, like,
I understand the power of the Infinity Stones.
Right, you have the Infinity Stones power. So if your goal is to just bring people back, you would never put them in that situation. They would just return. They'd just be like, boop, they'd be okay on the ground.
It's because the Mind Stone is able to read your thoughts and understand the basics of what you're hoping to do.
Yes.
I get it. You know why I get it? Because I'm a comic book fan. And I understand it doesn't matter. They came back. That's what's the important thing. Let's move on.
They're safe.
Yeah. So before we end today, we actually have
Eagles.
We had two new reviews pop up on iTunes.
Ooh.
One that I meant to read a while ago, and I've just kept, I forgot, and then I brought back back in January, Shaloop, who I know is a fan of the podcast and follows me on Instagram.
That sounds like a made-up name.
I think it's JD Shaloop on Instagram. I'm not 100% sure. Says, first time I listened to this podcast, I thought it was just a couple vulgar idiots making dick and poop jokes. After listening to it more, I realized it's actually a couple vulgar idiots making dick and poop jokes and talking about gaming sometimes. Joe and Steve are hilarious and surprisingly insightful and bring a great disdain for gaming culture along with a genuine love of games. Basically the best gaming podcast. Wish it came out more often. As I say, we hate everything you love and love everything you hate. And then Ogthrock wrote, for the latest in Focus Codex reviews, tournament coverage, and in-depth tactics to elevate your game to the tabletop. At the top tables.
Yes!
Which I thought was
hysterical.
You're
coming to the top tables now.
Top table! Top table gaming!
TTG, top table gaming.
Yeah, so that's basically what we got going on there.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. I still like the people who are like, it's so vulgar!
Thanks for the reviews. Fucking get out of here, you fucking Puritans.
Before we end, we should throw a bone out to Skander's friends.
Mork Mork.
It got the Kickstarter dropped. So, no, it's on
Kickstarter. Oh, yeah, it got funded.
No, it's like when you drop an album, you're releasing it. So they've
you,
released
You dropped a fat beat. They dropped a fat Mork Borg.
Oh, you know what? There's another thing I got to talk about, too. They dropped it. The game looks fucking fantastic.
It's fully funded. Looks really cool.
I mean, I can't say anything about the playing of the game, like how the play style works. But the artwork looks really cool, and the layout looks cool. And so I guess if you're into Doom metal, it's the Kickstarter for you. I don't know what Doom metal is in
Doom. Okay, so
does it have anything to do with MF Doom?
No. So Doom metal is a more orchestral version. Like,
tell me how the singing is. It singing or is it?
Usually neither. Like Doom metal is like more like.
And then the darkness went into the.
Okay.
So very, like, Baroque. It's the Baroque version of metal.
Okay. Ah, the Baroque version of metal.
Yes.
That's, when you run out of Monet, what it you is. Get Baroque.
God damn it.
That's an art joke.
More like a fart joke. Hey-o.
Also, Titan Legions, Titan Forge has a new Kickstarter.
Oh, do they? What army?
They got two that are coming out. They're doing like an Amazon army, and they're doing an Ogre Pirate army. They're fleshing out the Ogre Pirates.
Yar, matey.
So, like, you're like, oh, Ogre Pirates, okay, they're very similar. And then they have Sharkmen as their Yetis, and I'm kind of nice. Like... Fucking hammerhead sharks.
Street sharks.
Street sharks. Jawsome.
It's Jawsome.
But the Amazons also look very sweet. It's
Never forget that Vin Diesel was the spokesperson for the Toy Fair Street Sharks presentation.
Well, yeah, Street Sharks were an awesome toy.
It's true.
They had big jaws.
It's also a really fun thing to watch him do that.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it now?
Well, because he wasn't in the commercial, but you can find the video. If you just look for Vin Diesel Street Sharks, anyone can find it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But he was, he did, so, I don't know if people know this or not, but like when you do, there's, just like there are conventions for people, there are conventions for companies.
Yeah.
So they have toy conventions, which are to get retailers interested or understand toy concepts to carry them in their shops. And Vin Diesel was the presenter for Street Sharks in that capacity. So there's a video that they would send to retailers of him at this convention of Vin Diesel playing with fucking Street Sharks toys, and it's great. You should watch it.
Oh yeah, for sure. To put it out, also I wanted to say that the ogre captain is riding a giant crab.
That's pretty fucking sick.
Yeah. So
a giant enemy crab.
There, as I always say, Titan Forge has their sculpts are always sick and amazing. They're a little bit bigger than standard fantasy, so they're about Age of Sigmar size now that they have that. And they also have the Amazon Queen riding a Quetzalcoatl.
That's also fucking sick.
It's like the whole theme is like Amazons riding dinosaurs, so it's like totally lizardmen type thing.
Sick.
It's very, very sweet looking army. Totally recommend looking at either of them.
I think the Battle Valor Kickstarter is still going as well. The third Battle Valor Kickstarter is still going.
Yeah, that's going on as well. So that's about it. I think that's all the stuff I wanted to cover. We'll figure it out eventually. Every time I leave Steve's place after recording this podcast, I go, fuck!
I'm supposed to talk about that thing! It's okay, because we'll never remember it.
Yeah. I mean, I think the main thing that I wanted to talk about was the Game of Thrones Kickstarter and the Adepticon getting golden demons, because
demon.
I'm very interested to see what the turnout's going to be like. Are people going to travel destination wise for a golden demon when there's no cash prize as much as they would with the crystal brush? Do you know what I'm saying?
I don't think. Well, we'll see.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We'll see. We'll
say, I was wondering. I was like in my head. I was thinking like how many people actually just traveled just for the crystal brush. It's probably more than a few.
Yeah, there's probably about like half dozen at most, half dozen minimum. Let's say who do that, and because they know the cash prize was like $10,000, which is a lot of fucking money.
Right.
But you got to remember, demons have no cash prize. It's basically for. Oh, and they also have, I gotta stop because we gotta end this podcast, but there's also, they're doing that apocalypse painting competition. It's gonna be like a worldwide painting competition. They haven't released much on what it's going to be, but we'll see. Maybe it will be like their version of Crystal Brush where they put it up on the website and people vote. Like, so everybody's gonna put their shit up, people are gonna vote on it, and then the person who wins is gonna be a guy who did Space Marines because he did Space Marines as opposed to Tomb Kings.
I
like this one because it's
really
a
like fantasy. I like vote for the 40K army.
Boop.
I think that actual occurrence was the alternate. It's like I don't really like 40K, so I'm gonna vote for the fantasy army.
Yeah, that's you. Yeah, yeah. Just like, and then it's like
no, I would always vote for the one that was better painted.
I hope they do that. I hope it's like that, so that way I'll talk to the Russians and see if I can get a bunch of bots just to upvote my shit.
Nice.
So I can have like a really shitty guy.
You can definitely just buy a few bots. They're not expensive.
I know. That's what I'm saying. But I would buy like a million bots. I would fuck the system and fuck it hard. All right. Go to planetarbitrary.com. Fuck it. We don't have Planet Arbitrary anymore.
How do you still think we do?
Because it's literally it's muscle reaction at this point. It's just muscle memory. Go to Game Classic Facebook page, Game Classic Podcast. on Facebook. It's the best way to get in contact with us, to message us, talk with us. If you do, the problem with the Facebook page, and the only problem, it has nothing to do with Facebook, is the fact that all the messaging system, because a lot of our fans are overseas, so they message us at like 2 o'clock in the morning here. And so I wake up and I got like 3 messages. And I'm like, what the fuck? All right. And so I got to answer them all while I'm on the toilet at 5 o'clock in the morning. That's basically how that runs. But it's the best way to get in contact with us. You could also, best way you can help out the podcast is to like, comment, subscribe on iTunes, just as we read here. So you could write vulgar and disgusting things on your iTunes as long as you give us the 5 stars. That's all I care about. You know, even 4 stars if you don't like us that much, but mostly 5 stars. I do like that we have a very, very heavy 5-star to 1-star rating. So like we have a bunch of 1-star ratings.
We're only 5s or 1s.
That's the best, because you know that's a good podcast if it's 5 or 1. That podcast is going to be for you or not for you. It's not going to be like one of those ones where it's like, hi, welcome to Shade Glass, the Shade Spire podcast, where we're talking about Shade Spire Tactics and the new warbands that have come out.
The bi-monthly Shade Spire podcast.
Bi-mon Shade Spire Con.
Bi-mon Shade Con.
Bi-mon Shade Con. Today we're going to be talking about Trollog's Mob and things that you can do so that you can win. First up, a review of the cards. This is the first card. You know, it's like you can't give that guy 1 star because you're like, he's presenting information. But at the same time, it's like, you don't want to give him 5 stars because he's boring as fuck. So you're going to give him 3 stars and delete the podcast. Also, you're going to be like, these guys know what's up.
They suck.
or these guys talk about poop too much. I'm going to, or these guys talk about vomit a lot. I'm an emetophobe, so I'm not going to like this. Beep. I don't know why their phone makes a beep sound, but it does. You can also listen to us on the YouTube. It's another place that you could like, comment, and subscribe. I put up the podcast there. I really don't monitor that much. So if you do and you make a comment and I don't comment back, I'm sorry. It's just that it's just hard for me to get to the YouTube page and do that because I'm lazy. I have kids. I got a job. I'm painting figures. Working on 3D printing, I guess. I got a lot. I'm juggling a lot of pies, is what I'm saying here. Steve's farting. You could also listen to our sister podcast. You have Shin Play on Neo, right?
Shin Play on Pod Neo.
Shin Play on Pod Neo. I'm gonna get it right sooner enough. We're Steve and Young Giuseppe, who is now gainfully employed at a local gaming store.
Again.
Yes. I saw him there. I was like, because I don't really know him that much. I've only met Young Giuseppe like a couple times, and so I was like, wait, yeah, okay, cool, yay, because he was like, hey, you're Joe, and I'm like, yeah, oh wait, you're Giuseppe, okay, cool. I recognize his voice more than anything because he's got a very distinctive voice. But yes,
he's a good lad.
So Steve and him talk about video games and Japanese stuff.
It's mostly my sister, actually.
Oh, and your sister? Yeah. So you guys, are you on there?
Yeah.
It's
my sister, Kyle, myself.
Yeah. You guys all talk about the video games and Japanese stuff and things like that. You also have Deconstructing Daycare, which is still going strong. So am I missing any ones like that?
I don't think so.
You also have the Steve Masturbate-a-thon cast, where it's just him masturbating.
Those videos are all set to private.
Set to private.
You gotta pay for my. You gotta pay for
that's
that.
That's on the Patreon.
That's on OnlyFans or ManyVids.
Was it buy a cup? Is that like the coffee thing?
Coffee. It's K-O, K-O hyphen F-I, coffee.
Okay, yeah.
Although you can't mention anything about adult content if you're donating to coffee. Don't ever do that because you're fucking over the artist.
Oh, okay.
Because coffee has like a super like draconian anti-adult content policy.
Well,
so,
this
like,
is America.
I don't even know if they're an American company, but like they specifically have that. So don't ever mention anything about 18 plus for coffee. You're just going to fuck over the person you're trying to support. So don't do that.
There you go. I never do anything on that anyway. I always do Patreon. That's what I do. Not for adult stuff, but I just do Patreon. It's like my donating thing.
I don't. The only thing I like about Patreon is it's a subscription service.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Like I much prefer to just like if it was like coffee, I prefer that a lot more because I could just be like, this is the $5. Like,
yeah.
I'm done.
I get you on that. All right. So, Steve, until next time.
It could be bigger than Pokemon.
Game Classy.